You're listening to World Oil's Deep Dive, where you'll get to know the authors of technical articles in World Oil magazine and learn more about their company's technology and how it's shaping our industry. Now, here's your host, Jim Watkins.
We're here today with John Evans from Gyrodata, who authored an article called Innovation is Key to Drilling Longer Laterals in the October 2019 issue of World Oil. So, John, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to be at Gyrodata, your background.
Hey, Jim. Well, thanks for the invite to attend this podcast. So I started in the industry back in 1984, started off mudlogging a long time ago with geoservices. In 2000, joined Baker Hughes as part of the drilling engineering group, which was called Baker Hughes Oasis at the time. Spent a number of years working with those guys, focused on applications in Norway, as it was at the time. Based on some of the successes we had with the projects that were being run there, they invited me to Houston to become a product manager for specialty products. Fundamentally, anything that didn't fit into the normal category of drill bits, drilling services, or whatever it may be. Shortly thereafter, I joined Halliburton, and in March of 2017, I was approached by Gyrodata to help them out with their rotary steerable and some of their other drilling services. So that was 2.5 years ago, and it's been an amazing 2.5 years.
Wow, yeah, because you guys have developed a lot recently, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And we're still developing.
Well, let's get into the article, because it is very interesting. In the beginning, you're talking about the growth in the length of laterals, and I'll just quote something from the article here. You wrote that from 2016 to 17, well lateral lengths increased more than 1,500 feet on average to a length of 7,500 feet, and that lateral lengths beyond 10,000 have become more common now. But then you call out 2018 as a year when we really started hitting some long laterals. The longest that year, according to the article, is 17,875 feet and also another of 18,129 feet. Those were record-setting wells. And also, was that in that same year? Was that in 2018 as well, the longest in the Permian with the 17,935?
At that time, yes, that's correct. It was in 2018.
So what is that like now? I mean, that's 2018. I mean, a year later, are we doing longer than that now, or are we just trying to perfect that?
We're in the ballpark. We're still in the ballpark. Some wells may be exceeding this a little bit. I think the big plan is that for 2020 onwards, that we're now starting to look at 3-mile laterals for some customers, which is really pushing the boundaries of technical limits of some equipment. They're investigating the best ways to approach that. I think that, you know, key to this for me, especially from my past career, is a lot of my work was international, offshore, and so on. So coming into the U.S. land market, drilling wells of 1,500-foot laterals and so on and so forth was okay. You know, up to 7,000 feet was fine. But if you look at the development over the past couple of years, which was the point I was trying to get across here, where these laterals are becoming longer and longer, the wells that we're drilling in North America are as complex as anything I've seen internationally and offshore. But we're doing in a quarter of the time, or 20% of the time, which is absolutely astounding. So I think this is what's driving some of the technology development in North America, or the adoption of technologies which at the time were not perceived as cost viable to drill wells in North America. But with the complexity of these wells, yeah, I mean, technology is improving in leaps and bounds. We're continually pushing the development of the technical limits of a lot of this equipment.
Yeah, and on the next page in the article, you actually talk about, you know, the use of pads and, you know, drilling, you know, 20 vertical wells off of one pad and that type of thing. And that plays into that, right? That's why we, you know, we can develop faster and have more iterations, because there's a lot going on.
Oh, correct. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it from the economics perspective or from the market perspective, the rig count is still a big driver in future investment on the part of customers, or especially from the point of service companies. I'm not quite so sure that's the right metric these days. Rig count is decreasing, yes, as a function of the market given, but there's also a function of drilling efficiency. The wells that we're drilling in North America, we're drilling them significantly faster than we were, therefore more efficiently, and lateral lengths are becoming longer. So 2, 3, 4 years ago, the ratio of vertical wells to horizontal wells was much higher. Well, now it's flipped. Now we're drilling far more horizontal wells than vertical wells, or increased rate at least. So the rig count is going to drop.
So what's a better metric?
Probably lateral footage, or footage drilled. You'll probably see that the footage drilled is increasing in relation to rig count.
Right, exactly. And further on, you talk about one of the key advances was being able to drill these really long laterals on one trip, right?
Well, it's just not the long laterals, but some customers are pushing to drill the curve and lateral in one run as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the challenges are becoming tougher and tougher by the day.
Wow, that is impressive. But I think it's one of the things I love about this industry. You know, they're always pushing for more and more technologically advanced. I mean, it's, you know, it breeds innovation, I think. And I mean, you guys know about innovation, that's for sure. But later on, there was something that I made a note of here, because you were talking about closed loop RSS tools. And I'm not a technical guy, so what's a closed loop RSS tool?
Well, basically a closed loop RSS tool is a tool that manages itself, if you will. It's self-contained. You're not relying upon power to be transmitted from surface, for the sake of argument. And also all of the analytics and measurements that are acquired by the tool during the drilling operation are processed downhaul, and the tool will decide then, okay, where do I need to steer? So you can program a course, if you will, into the rotary steerable tool, a combination of inclination and azimuth, a trajectory, if you will, and the tool will self-manage and steer to that. So there's limited or reduced intervention from surface.
We shouldn't call that closed loop. We should call that robotic automated drilling. Sure. That would be awesome.
Okay. This industry loves acronyms. Just find an acronym.
So, and then later on, you mentioned, you know, the combination of RSS tools and well design and drilling fluids, you know, that have really made these changes possible. But you didn't mention bits in there. And I would think that bits would be a part of that too.
It is. Bits are part of it. Something I've always been a proponent of is a total system approach, is matching the drill bit to the drilling system, to the application, to get the best performance. What we're finding as rotary steerable tools, as motors are developing, so are bit technologies. For a bit to drill multiple wells is not uncommon. To be able to repair a bit after it's drilled multiple wells and then rerun it then afterwards is not uncommon. Consequently, the bit has less of an impact in performance in most applications because of the durability. However, the harder we push these tools, pushing the technical limits, as I mentioned earlier, you will see a lot of cutter chippage and damage. Well, that's a result of drilling dysfunction, because we are pushing tools beyond their technical limits. So that's the next issue that we have to address.
That's interesting, especially for the bit guys. I mean, to, you know, find out about that. For me, one of the interesting things is that I didn't even know about that before we were talking today, that they can use them on multiple wells before they need to reuse them. But, you know, when people push things beyond their technical limits, they tend to break, whether it's a bit or anything else. So that is interesting. And then we get to the good stuff in the article, because we're talking about some examples from an operator in 2019, this year, right? So this is really, really fresh information. So I always like to ask this question, but you call it out. In 2019, an operator needed to drill two directional wells in Anadarko Basin's Granite Wash Play. Who's the operator?
That's a really good question. Next. Next.
No, I know that they don't like to use their name in these things, but I always like to ask, because who knows? So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about these case studies, about these two wells.
Well, I think there's two interesting aspects to this. One, the customer was trying to drill a lateral length or a lateral section of the well faster and extend these lateral lengths beyond what they were capable of doing. They had been running other companies' rotary steerable tools, and they'd had some success, but it's not quite where they wanted it to be. So the challenge for the application was that it was a frequent loss zones within these laterals, so high LCM or high background LCM in the mud is a challenge. Well, if you have a rotary steerable tool that is turbine-driven, i.e. the power generation is hydraulic from the mud, then you're pumping LCM, you've got a risk on your hands. And that, again, was part of the factor of why they were not being as successful as they wanted to be. Well, fortunately, with the well guide tool from Gyrodata, it's battery-driven, it's a full-bore tool. We have no restriction associated with LCM or whatever else you would like to pump through the hole. So we put together a plan for that well, and we're very successful on the first well, and the second well was even more successful. We learned by our success.
And was that using your internal system? Because later on, I'm skipping ahead just a little bit here, but we'll come back to the drilling motor factors. But was that learnings from your guide center that you have here?
Sure. Several learnings, actually. There's a point later on in the article where I mentioned the improvements in motor technology, which we can come back to and revisit later on if you wish to. But if you look at the duration of motors some years back, I mean, 100 hours was pretty much it. We are pushing these motors now to 200 hours in excess with higher bend rates and so on and so forth. So the motor technology is improving as well, not just rotary steerable technology. Well, for this application, we determined that the best solution was a motor-assisted rotary steerable assembly.
Oh, okay.
Together with our own MWD system, of course. So again, it was a total system approach to addressing this challenge for the customer. We did work closely with the bit companies to find out which bit we thought would be collectively, collaboratively, that we would thought would be best for this application. And obviously we hit a home run. With the Guide Center, what we did there, the Guide Center contains several aspects of how we run our business. We have the well planning group. We have the well engineering group that will then look at the well plan, and based on the well plan, we'll define the best drilling system for the application, factoring in torque and drag, hydraulics, BHA dynamics, and so on and so forth. With another factor, and that group actually produced something for every well, every section that we drill called the guide analysis. And it's basically a blueprint of what we recommend for that application. The next step on top of that is what we call the OPR, which is the operational program report, where we take that blueprint, that guide analysis, and have a group of guys monitoring reality versus the plan. So how are we performing to plan? They update this on the fly such that should we see a degradation in performance, what's causing that? What do we need to put in place and communicate that to the customer? On the flip side of that, when we're performing well, what's going right? How do we capture that information to make sure we can repeat that, capture that positive lesson learned, and put that into future looking programs?
And so that's how you can drill one well and be successful, and then the next well even better, because you're taking those lessons learned and applying them right away. There's no delay, right?
No, exactly. There's a continual learning process. And it's not just from the operating side of it, parameter-wise and BHA design-wise, but we feed that information back to the engineering groups to figure out how we can improve the performance of our motors, how we can improve the performance of our rotatable tools and our MWD tools.
Okay. So now let's backtrack a little bit to this drilling motor factor, because I think there's a lot of good information. That's just one big paragraph there, but there's a lot covered in there about the evolution of that. So talk to us a little bit about that.
From the motor perspective?
Yeah. From the drilling motors, about, you know, how, you know, like you said, now we're using them for 200 hours, where before it used to be 100 hours, right? And then, you know, how is all of that innovation? Okay, so you can watch, you can see what's happening and how things are being done. But how does that innovation come about? I mean, is that metallurgy? What is that? I mean, how do you design a motor that can go twice as long?
There's no simple answer to that question. There are so many factors that play in. You have elastomer design, you have motor configuration, power section design. It's actually, I would say that part of the business is progressing faster than anything else. Motor power sections and overall motor rotor stator designs and CV joint designs are improving all the time, because we're pushing harder and harder and harder and harder on these motors. It's to the point that, looking forward from a gyro data perspective into future product development, we are looking at a new rotor stator platform. The question is, do we need a high dogleg capability curve drilling tool, or do I need a lateral tool that doesn't have the high dogleg capability, but delivers low tortuosity. Mm. With the principle that my motors are becoming so good, or gyro data's motors are becoming so good, why develop a high dogleg tool? I have one.
Right.
And his capabilities and his performance are improving daily almost.
That's impressive. But one of the most impressive lines from that particular paragraph is that the gyro drill performance mud motor drilled 14,201 feet curved a lateral section in one run in 226 hours.
I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah. No, that's impressive. That's impressive. And then at the end of the article, now you get, I mean, I always love it when we're talking about case studies, you know, and our audience loves when they're hearing about case studies, when things were actually used. But then we really get to the nuts and bolts here at the end, because we're talking about the results. So give us a breakdown of that.
Well, some of the results that we've seen are improved lateral length, higher ROPs. It's not uncommon to hit 600 feet an hour, which is unheard of in a lot of applications. I think there's several things to factor in. There's, if you look at wellbore tortuosity, or the accuracy that the well guide can drill to, as it says in the article there, we kept an average inclination of 89.99 degrees and the median dogleg severity of 0.79 degrees per 100 foot with minimal intervention for surface at a pretty high ROP. There's a great unknown, there's a great debate going on about wellbore tortuosity in relation to production. I mean, I can't attest to a lot of the science that goes behind that from a production standpoint, but I hear a lot more concern from customers that the tortuosity of wellbores impact production. To what degree, I don't know. But that's one of the main features, one of the great features of WellGuide, is it does deliver a low tortuosity solution. The other thing is, if I can deliver a low tortuosity solution, I can drill faster. I have less problems in getting tools in and out of the ground. I have less friction and drag in the BHA or in the drill string behind me. So I can clean the hole better from a hydraulic standpoint. So all this adds up to time saving from the customer. Putting aside the production side of it, but at least from my drilling AFE, I can hit my targets or exceed them.
Yeah, well, and obviously that worked in this case, because in the article you go on to say that you saved the operator 8 days of drilling time and drilled the entire well in 11 days. But for me, the big number is that, you know, the total cost savings of rig time and everything together was $580,000 in drilling costs. That's serious savings.
That's serious savings. Yeah. I mean, it's a great saving for the customer. I mean, we're all about saving money for the customer and delivering a quality product at the end of the day. If the customer can drill more wells, we have more work.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think that's it. Was there anything else you wanted to add? Anything that you wanted to point out in the article?
I don't think so, Jim. I think we covered it all.
Excellent, John. Well, thanks a lot for being here with us today. And hopefully we'll have another article in soon and we'll have you back.
You publish it, we'll talk about it.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for listening. Take a look at today's show notes for links we mentioned in the podcast. We enjoy your feedback, so if you have any questions or comments, email them to deepdive@worldoil.com. Check out worldoil.com for the best oil and gas industry technical articles and news. And join us next time for another Deep Dive with World Oil.